It's time for Industry Night, our Monday night dive into the world of food and hospitality. Last week, we talked about the James Beard Awards and how Chicago got hosed. This week, let's talk Tonic. My guest tonight spent a majority of her life in craft beer, but recognizing that market to be saturated and overcrowded, Mary Pelletieri turned her attention to soft drinks. We all know that the options for soft drinks are limited. You got your sodas, your teas, your lemonades, or your lemonade teas, or your tea sodas. Keep going with this variation, but the same attention to detail that goes both into craft beers and craft cocktails has had a harder time crossing over to the consumer. Enter Mary, who co-founded and is president of Top Note Tonics. Top Note has had a great couple of years. The Milwaukee-based company has won awards for their tonic and ginger beers, and it's found in many of the cocktails in your favorite Chicago restaurants like Avec, Longman and Eagle, and The Whistler, just to name a few. Mary Pelletieri with Top Note Tonics in studio tonight on Download. Mary, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. This is great.
So let's first, how did you, I mean, the crossover to go from craft beers to soft drinks doesn't seem like a natural one. How did that happen?
Well, you know, craft beer, I was in it at the beginning and had watched the innovation happen, watched craft brewers go from thinking about English style ales all the way through the Belgian style beers to really their own innovations now. And I kind of saw nothing really happening in the soft drink industry. The large companies are attempting to innovate, but really where innovation is going to happen is out of small, really entrepreneurial companies. So I saw Top Note as an opportunity for me to play in a space where I thought a brewer might have fun, which is in tonic, which is traditionally just a bitter soda.
Yeah, I was going to say, it doesn't seem like something that a lot of people have turned their attention to because it is traditionally a bitter soda. It's not something that people put a lot of energy or passion into. Talk about tonic itself.
Well, tonic is a real traditional beverage. I mean, pre-prohibition, we were... even in the United States, drinking tonic as a category beverage, say a sarsaparilla soda, you can get it as a tonic and you would add bitters. And it was really great for digestion. So we kind of fell away from that after prohibition, kind of figuring of just the whole idea of bitter in our drinks kind of fell away after prohibition. It was more of a European tradition anyway. Mm-hmm. But as Campari and Aperol and some of these other real bitter liqueurs have started to kind of have a revival, as have tonics, and tonic as a mixer is being used more and more. And I saw 10 years ago now bars and restaurants starting to make their own tonic because they just couldn't find good brands of tonic out there that were interesting or had good enough ingredients.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, tonic falls into the gun at the bar,
mm-hmm.
where
so right.
you hit the left side and you get Diet Coke, and you hit the right side you get tonic. But there always seemed to be not a lot of emphasis put on the mixers, especially when you're talking about mixed drinks in bars.
Yeah, well, the mixer used to, I mean, Coca-Cola became a mixer during Prohibition because there was bad booze. and it blended out the bad booze flavor. So mixers, you know, to hide the bad liquor had been, you know, something out there. But the liquor category has gotten better. Spirits are becoming crafted.
Yeah.
Not just the premium side, but there are much more smaller producers out there now making very high-end, really well constructed flavors and beverages and just very different things. So why not have a mixer that actually complements versus hides it?
Well, and that's so interesting because I wouldn't know what ingredients go into tonics. When you talk about making craft tonic, what goes into that? How are you doing that? Because I can think of the ingredients that go into beer, and I can think about liquor because the stories have been well told. But when you're talking about craft tonic, mm-hmm. what is tonic?
Well, crafting anything, we're really crafting a soft drink. But I, you know, when I was at Goose Island, we made the soft drinks there. And I was on the quality side, so I was doing all the R&D.
And those great soft drinks.
And I had a lot of fun with that project. I understood a little bit more about the sweeteners that you can use. There's different types of acids that you can use. Just like anything, you can find high quality ingredients, or you can go for a lower quality ingredient, depending on your cost structure. So I knew there was an opportunity out there in botanical extracts. Those were something that we're seeing more and more in the soft drink industry. And there's better quality ingredients are now being available now, are really available for soft drink makers. So why not craft in the tonic spectrum? And I also thought bitters themselves just needed to be looked at from more of a botanical or craft brewer mentality. There's a lot of things that can bitter in beverage, and that of course has a history, right? We have vermouth, which is really just a bitter wine. We've got bitter liqueurs that have different bitters in them. So why not use different bitters in the soft drink category too?
It blows my mind to think about too, because I would think, especially when you're talking about tonics, that is an ingredient for something else.
Yeah.
In the way that, you know, that I wouldn't think necessarily all the stuff you were just mentioning, botanicals and extracts, that would go into actually making tonics. I just think it's tonics being part of an ingredient for something else.
Well, tonic is really, all soft drinks originally were just botanical beverages. You know, originally, even what we see as cola was really a lot of botanicals mixed together. And created, they flavored mineral water. You know, that's what soft drinks used to be, are syrups that flavored mineral water. Well, tonic, again, was the thing that toned the body. It was good for digestion. And it had bitters. So we went back to some of those original recipes, and we not only used quinine, which is kind of traditionally now what we think of tonic because of the Brits and the gin and tonic, but quinine is not the only bitter we use. We use actual bitters that you find in things like bitter liqueurs. Mm-hmm. So our tonics have a little bit different bitter spectrum on them. And then, you know, we also innovated in the ginger beer category. Ginger beer is just a robust ginger ale. It used to be re-fermented in the bottle.
Right.
We just decided to use a darker sugar and use a little bit more of an earthy flavor. So it comes off very different. And they all have very different mixable qualities. And I see the mixing category and just something that people at home are going to want to play a little bit more in, and we'll keep giving them some good stuff.
Well, let's continue the conversation. Mary Pelletieri is here. She's a longtime brewer and the co-founder and president of Top Note Tonics. We're talking about tonics and mixers and really looking at that part of the soft drink and bringing the craft idea to soft drinks here in our Industry Night segment here on The Download. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back more with Mary here on 720 WGN. Stay with us. Mary Pelletieri is in studio. She's my guest tonight in our Industry Night segment we do every Monday night here. We're talking about craft tonics, really. I mean, craft soft drinks. Mm-hmm. Because not just tonics, you also have ginger beer as well. It's an interesting departure from what we know to be craft cocktails or craft beer. We've seen such an explosion in those areas, but not as much in the soft drink area. For you to have a background in brewing, to understand craft beer, you talked about your time at Goose Island. How much of this is science? How much of this is, being a professional who understands how these different elements come together? How much of it is creativity? And how much is just driven by taste?
Yeah, well, that's a good question. There's a ton of science. I don't actually know it all, but I do know what I like, and I do know good flavor. So 20-some years in the brewing industry, you taste a few beers, you get an understanding of balance. And that was something I thought was missing in the mixer category. So that's why we focused on this alcohol-adjacent category, in which we're making soft drinks that are made to be mixed with alcohol. They don't have to be mixed with alcohol, though. We were talking actually in the break about non-alcoholic beverages, and they actually make a nice base for a non-alc as well. But balance had to be there, so I knew bitter, sour, and sweet had to be balanced. So I used, you know, some of the tricks that you learn as you're making beer on how to do that, and also just use a lot of trial and error and tasting.
I always am always been told, and this is why, you know, for, you know, the idea of tonic having sugar, like mm-hmm. a lot of sugar in it, that you think that maybe because it's clear, you're thinking, oh, I'm being healthy in my drinking. But there is a lot of sugar. So how do you deal with that? Because we seem to be entering a phase in today's world in 2018 where people are very conscientious about how much sugar they're putting into their beverages or craft.
And they should be. There's a lot of alcohol that actually has extra sugar in it, too. So I always coach folks on asking their bartender how much simple sugar they're putting in their drink, if they're using a mixer, how much of the mixer they're using, if it's a high calorie mixer or not. We actually made these specifically with about a mid-calorie a weight of sugars, so about half the sugar that you'd find in a standard soft drink. We always know a good bartender is going to balance the drink no matter what. If they need to add a little element of sugar, they might add a little bar spoon of sherry or some liqueur if they want to do that. But let the bartender do that, or let yourself do that at home. You could always mix a drier drink, and if you need to add just a little more sugar, you can. But good spirits don't need to be hidden by sugar. So that was the premise of starting these out with a lower sugar platform, because, again, yes, the tonic that you traditionally see on the soda gun, which
masking,
is masking, masking some of the badder spirits out there, but good tonic, which actually you're starting to find ours as well as some other brands on the soda gun, so don't think it's all bad. You can find some good natural sugar tonics that are going to be mid-calorie, not only in bottles, but now on the soda gun as well.
That's interesting. You know, I was at a restaurant this weekend. It's the first time I had seen a menu, a cocktail menu, where they had a non-alcoholic section with 5 or 6 cocktails. They were not sort of your standard, you know, seltzer water. It was, these were mixed as if with several ingredients. They just were missing the alcohol. This is a trend that we're seeing more and more, that more people want to experience that cocktail, that mixed drink that is just sweeping restaurants worldwide. But some people don't drink. So you're seeing more and more of this. Is this a good thing? Is that a good balance? I mean, are they the same in the sense that if alcohol is removed from these things, they still are great drinks?
Yeah, well, I guess that shows you that there's creativity and craftsmanship without the spirit there, without the alcohol part. And I think a good bartender is going to recognize that there's going to be folks that actually want the experience, want to see some of what the bartender's doing, making their drink, maybe without a spirit, which is fine. There's actually quite a good movement here in Chicago where you're seeing more of that, where there's spirit-free or alcohol-free components to the menu. And we like that because they're going to be looking for good mixer brands to bring to the table to help out with that.
As someone who's been in the industry as long as you have, and you talked about the 20 years in craft, and whether that be beer or soft drinks or just the industry, are you amazed at how much the customer has evolved when it comes to their palate, to their understanding of mixed drinks? Because you probably have seen where even in craft beer, people are like, I'll take the yellow one. that you've seen more and more customers are educated about what's in their drinks or what these things are and what it's going to taste like before asking educated questions to their bartender.
Well, I think the whole food movement has been about knowing more about where it's coming from, right? So the whole artisanal movement that extends from craft beer to wine to spirits to soft drinks to, you know, farm to fork kind of thing at the chef's table. People want to know the authenticity of the story. They want to know what is in this. I think there is that element to just about everything now. So why not ask it of the mixers that are being used?
When I think about this, and you've got three of them in front of me, a bitter lemon tonic, Indian tonic water, and ginger beer. And you said that these are primarily soft drinks for mixing spirits.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're selling to consumers? The idea that you should buy these and mix your drinks at home if you're doing more specialty stuff? Or how are you approaching consumers?
We're approaching
these as opposed to bartenders.
Classic highball mixers. So, you know, replace your generic tonic with a bitter lemon, and you're just going to have that much better of a gin and tonic or vodka tonic experience. In Europe, they drink bitter lemons as a soft drink, and we were talking about that. That's actually my favorite. The bitter lemon here has taken off. Soho House picked it up, and we've actually had a couple of bars and restaurants go there and pick it up from there. So it's just a really nice soft drink. It's got a little bitterness. I think when we explain to folks, we sell these as mixers, and we say they are meant to be mixed, but people say, well, I kind of like it on its own. I said, that's great. You know, go ahead and drink it on its own. And that's actually a category of soft drinks in Europe for that reason. But we're a little slow to the take right now in the States. Let's take it one step at a time.
How do you convince, like you mentioned, Soho House or Vec or these any restaurant that's serving cocktails, to maybe move up a price point for a product or to do something that that gets them out of what they used to think as a category that they didn't have to spend money on?
You know, the price doesn't come out to that much more per cocktail. And a good bar manager is going to look at what they're spending and the consumer experience. And it's not even a consideration at the better places. Right. They're already going to be buying, and many times they're already buying another soft beverage from maybe over in Europe, and we're taking that place. So as a domestic, so the better ones are already serving some really great stuff. We're just going to give the Europeans a little competition.
There you go, Mary Pelletieri, the co-founder and president of Top Note Tonics. Top Note Tonics can be found in restaurants like Avec, Longman and Eagle, The Whistler, Soho House, just to name a few. Mary, can't thank you enough for coming in to educate us on all things tonic and mixers and soft drinks here on our Industry Night segment.
Hey, it was fun. Thanks for having us.